Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Bill Mahoney, a reporter for Politico New York. Welcome, Bill Mahoney. First, I'd love it if you could tell us a little bit about Politico, where people can find it and where they can read it.
Sure. We're a news outlet that focuses pretty much exclusively on covering politics, and we've got our own location here in Albany and New York City that kind of form our New York version of this. If you go to politico.com, just click on the states banner in the top, and that'll take you right to the New York homepage where it's all the stories on Albany and New York City.
Right. So where did you work before Politico?
I was at NYPIRG for about a decade. I know your listeners probably know Blair Horner. He's on here close to every day in some weeks, but I had worked with him on government reform issues.
Oh, that's great. So tell us a little bit about this incredible article that you wrote that everybody is talking about. And what you did is you did some research and you found out the 18 donors who have given Cuomo more than $100,000. That was an eye-opener, but what was really an eye-opener about your research is what they got back for it.
Sure. Well, Governor Cuomo, as he has since he first ran for office, and as a lot of politicians do in the state, he's raised a lot of money, especially from people who are hoping to get something in return, perhaps. And he's essentially the master of this in state politics. As you mentioned, if you look at his donors since he was elected to a second term, there are 18 who have given him over $100,000. And that's not the type of change that people usually give if they're just saying, I happen to like a politician. Like, often they're really hoping to get something done. And there is some pretty significant overlap between these contributors and what they got in return.
Some people around here call it pay to play. Tell us a little about some of these people. For example, tell us about the number one guy, Scott Reckler.
Sure. We'll start right at the top. Since Cuomo was first elected in his first term, his biggest donor was a real estate developer. Leonard Litwin gave him nearly $2 million all told in his first term. And if you look at the list, pretty much everybody on here is a real estate developer. I think it's 11 or 12 out of the 18. And that's largely due to something in the campaign finance regulations for the state dealing with how limited liability companies can give. If you're a typical person, you can give $65,100 to a candidate for statewide office, which is still probably a lot more than most people can give, but there is a contribution limit in place. But if you have limited liability companies, LLCs, then each of those can give that same amount. They're treated as a separate individual. So what happens is if you are a real estate developer who tends to hold a different LLC for each property, there's really no limit. So we tend to see a lot of developers at the top of these lists, and this year's list was no different. You mentioned Scott Reckler. He has a development company that works in New York City, New Jersey, and he gave Cuomo numerous contributions both from himself, but then we saw just this past, I believe it was May, there were two $65,000 checks that came from LLCs he controls that bumped his total up to $300,000 to Cuomo since he was first reelected. And he is, like most of the other people on this list, somebody who has deep connections to state government. He had served on the Port Authority appointed by Cuomo, and just this year, about a month after he wrote these two $65,000 checks, he was appointed to the MTA by the governor.
Well, those are almost honorific things. You know, I've often talked to my students and say, hey, let's assume you give a politician, I'm not talking about Cuomo now necessarily, but you give a politician $50,000, but you get $5 million contract back for it. That's a pretty good investment.
Yeah, and there is a lot of donations from contractors on this list, but still, even a lot of the honorific appointees, we've seen a lot of the names on here and other big donors of his have been appointed to commissions, task force that might not necessarily have a lot of power. But that is something that's pretty coveted by most people. It's a nice line to have on your resume saying, I was appointed by the governor of New York to serve on this commission agency. I don't think many people are upset with that. And some of these do have real power. You shape the policy of an agency that might directly deal with the type of business you work in. So even if you're just going to be one vote on a 20-person commission, it's not completely powerless.
We're talking to Bill Mahoney, who has written a wonderful article here that everybody's talking about. The 18 donors who have given Cuomo more than $100,000. And to put that into perspective, folks, think about you're writing a check to anybody for $100,000. Okay, so normal people don't do that kind of thing. They don't. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. About a year ago, I looked through all of his donors in his second term and found how many of these were just people who presumably happened to like Andrew Cuomo. There were over 98% that I was able to find hard evidence that they had business before state government. So this isn't people that just happen to say, I really like the governor. The people who are driven to give this much are almost always people who want to have a chance to sit down and talk with him, saying, hey, I'd really appreciate it if you gave my firm this contract, or I'm hoping that you sign this bill into law. And that tends to be who gives in New York, especially considering how high our contribution limits are.
Now, Cuomo, correct me if I'm wrong, has talked, you talked about the LLC thing, these limited liability corporations, and it's a good way around the campaign finance laws. Cuomo has spoken out about that, and he said, it's not a good thing. I'd like to change that. And yet, he uses it.
Yeah, what we've seen pretty much every year since he's been in office is he starts the year in his State of the State talking about the need for campaign finance reform, mentions things like public financing, closing the LLC loophole. But then it kind of falls off the wayside. Come April, he'll say, well, there's no appetite in the legislature to do this. And eventually the legislature goes home. And it's something he does talk about a lot. Certainly every year when he's doing his State of the State, he lists it in among his 300 pages of priorities for government to deal with that year. But we've never seen a real push from him on the issue. On other issues, the one that everybody always goes back to is gay marriage in his first year in office. That was something where he went around the state, he gave speeches, tried to rile up the voters. He called members into his office on a daily basis, trying to get them and put the elbow grease into getting something done. But throughout the 7 years he's been here, we haven't seen a big effort from him on issues like campaign finance reform. And as you mentioned, he is the person who benefits from the current system by far and away the most. In regards to LLCs, he's raised nearly $1 million in just the past 6 months alone. And I believe that's more than every state senator in the combined.
And how much does he have right now in his war chest? About $24, $25 million?
Yeah, he's at the same point where he was before last year, before the 2014 election. He's in the ballpark of $25 million or so.
And how does that work? How does he get that money? Does he have a team that goes out and a sales team that goes out and talks to people?
Well, he's certainly got fundraisers. He tends to have a few big events a year. There's always his birthday party for the most part. He just had an event a few weeks ago at a hedge funder's house on Long Island in the Hamptons, I believe, and tends to have an event maybe every month or two where tickets are $5,000 to $25,000, depending on how close to the governor you want to sit. And that accounts for the vast majority of his fundraising. I don't think he gets a lot of checks just happening to open up the mail and saying, oh, somebody decided to send me $100,000 today without a comment.
So we started with Rickler, who gave $300,000, and he and his family gave Cuomo $160,000 the first 2 years, you say, of his second term. The developer then contributed another $100,000 at the beginning of this year, and on May 19th, a limited liability company heads and another based at the same address wrote $65,000 checks. And then you say, a month later, Cuomo appointed Rickler to the MTA board. All right, so let's go to number two, who are tied, and those are the Fisher brothers, famous fellows.
We've got a few folks who gave $250,000 a pop, and they're one of them. That's another real estate firm, and that's another case of being able to give a lot of money through LLCs.
So what do you get out of being a real estate firm when you give a lot of money to the governor?
Well, there's a lot of business before Albany that deals specifically with real estate in New York City. In the past few years, for example, we deal with rent control in New York City every few years, and there's always a back and forth about how if you should expand it, if you should roll it back. And even a minor change in the law could mean millions of dollars for some of these companies. So
my point exactly.
And the other big one is tax breaks. We do a lot of tax breaks in Albany for firms that are building affordable housing in New York City. And
are they really building affordable housing, or are they... Or is that a sort of a dodge where they build a gigantic building in Midtown Manhattan, gigantic, ruins everything, and then they say some of that is for affordable housing?
Well, that's a little bit outside of my area of expertise, but some of the programs that are in place, for example, require whatever percentage of the rooms that you're building in a new project be under whatever rate. And they can certainly put the other rooms at selling them for $5, $10 million a piece, which isn't quite affordable even by Manhattan standards. But But there are laws in place that do encourage more of, if you're going to build these $5-10 million apartments, we're going to give you a tax break if you build a couple that are maybe six figures in there or rent out for something that the average person can actually afford.
So let me ask you a question. Bill Mahoney of Politico, I have to add that because I love having you here. And that is, there used to be a guy, we knew him very well, my producer David Gustina and I, and we loved him. His name was Lester Schulklapper. And Lester Schulklapper was the lobbyist for the real estate industry. I wonder, do the lobbyists and the givers, do you think there's a connection between them?
I think lots of times the lobbyists will advise them on saying, this is a good politician to give to. I think everybody knows at this point that Andrew Cuomo is probably the most important politician in the state and you should direct your money toward him. But certainly we've seen a lot of the real estate companies, for example, spent big money last year helping elect Senate Republicans, helping them keep their majority in the Senate. And my guess is the typical developer is probably not staring at maps of the state and trying to figure out which race is the best one to put $50,000 into. So I'm sure the lobbyists spend more time thinking about that and help them direct some of these expenditures.
Now, Bill Mahoney, we know that there's something called a quid pro quo. And a quid pro quo is not an understanding. Understanding as in, hey, give me some money and I'll... If you say that into a microphone, you're probably committing a felony, right? I mean, if they catch you on a microphone, Andrew Cuomo, let's say, and the Fisher brothers or anybody else, and saying, hey, if you give me that money, I'll sign this bill. That would be against the law, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and there's no reason to suspect that any of the people on this list or Governor Cuomo himself does anything like that.
They're not stupid.
It's not that difficult to be more implicit, though. If you pay $50,000 for a ticket to Governor Cuomo's fundraiser and show up and say, hey, there's this bill that's coming before your desk in a month, I'd really appreciate it if you vetoed it. That's not illegal.
And do you really think they're going to say that, even say that? Isn't there just sort of an understanding of how the whole thing works?
Yeah, oftentimes I'm sure you're right. Some people are probably even more subtle where Governor Cuomo gets a bill before his desk and gets a letter from some company or individual saying, please veto this, please sign this. And in the back of his head, he knows that they were at his fundraiser. And he and most politicians say that this doesn't influence their vote
at all. Of course not.
What does happen is most people probably aren't showing up to $5,000, $50,000 fundraisers on a regular basis, and they're not going to necessarily have that same face time. So that's a big critique of this system, is that these people are going to get to know the governor better. They're going to develop his trust. And even if he's thinking, I'm just going to weigh this on the merits, he might have had more face time and gotten to know one of the sides better than the other.
So let me ask you what the Fisher brothers got.
Well, they're another real estate firm, so I think they have the same concerns about tax credits, affordable housing, things like that. They did give a bunch of money to him, at least some of the principals of that firm gave a bunch of money to him in Cuomo's first term, and that attracted a lot of attention because that was just a few weeks before Cuomo signed a bill that renewed some tax credits and also carved out some special tax credits for five properties, one of which they owed. So there was a big Daily News investigation of that in, I believe, 2013, and the Moreland Commission, if you remember that.
Oh, yes. Remember the Moreland Commission? It was supposed to investigate corruption in New York, and they were getting somewhere, and then Cuomo inexplicably closed them down.
Yeah, and this was one of the deals they were investigating before he closed them down, where they had sent a subpoena to the Fisher brothers and four other firms, actually, I believe, that got this special carve-out. And there were no allegations that this was a quid pro quo or anything like that.
And you say carve-out. Remind me of carve-out, what a carve-out is again.
Well, in this case, there was a bill that provided tax breaks for developers in New York City. But I believe there were five properties, if I recall the number correctly, that had special tax breaks that didn't have to follow the same rules. This was 4 years ago, and I'm not an expert in real estate law, so the details are a little bit fuzzy. But basically, they got special treatment under a bill that provided tax credits for New York City developers.
Yeah, so worth the money. But the one that really caught my eye is Meyer Hirsch, who gave $250,000. Now, this one really gets to a very interesting political phenomena in New York, which is Kirias Joel.
Yeah, I think we could spend the full half hour talking about that and not really cover everything.
Well,
but
it is a
Hasidic community where they've grown tremendously in recent years, and they have some unique concerns. There's issues over school funding and development where they've often clashed with other communities that live in the area. And there have been several big fights at the local level. One of these came up a couple of years ago when there was a bill that would have restricted the ability of developers to build large projects there. Some of the other locals said, hey, this town's growing fast enough. We don't want any skyscrapers in the middle of a village. And there was this bill that ultimately Cuomo vetoed this, but when he vetoed it, That came about a week after one of the developers in Curious Joel, who had spoken out against this, had given him $250,000.
And this has become a very hot political potato down there, this control over this Curious Joel expansion plans.
Yeah, and there's a lot going on with that right now. I believe they are in talks to officially create their own town and split off from Monroe, which is the town that they're a village in currently.
Does anybody ever hold people responsible for this? In other words, it's outrageous. In my mind, it's outrageous. And especially if the government, you know, in return for campaign contribution or anything else, does this kind of thing. But do people scream about it?
Well, at the local level, it's a very big issue. I haven't been to any town board meetings down there, but from what I've heard, it's very contentious from the people who live near the village. The people who live in there have very different opinions on what the future of it should look like. And Cuomo, at least in this particular case, I believe he said that when he vetoed the bill, that it had violated the state constitution's prohibitions on what the legislature could do in terms of restricting development or changing village boundaries.
Do these guys ever say when they're disappointed, hey, I want my money back?
I haven't heard that one before, but in some cases, they might just not show up to a fundraiser the next year, I guess. But
I said that tongue in cheek.
But if you are writing $250,000 checks, you're probably not going to miss $250,000 too much.
Well, there are two reasons you give. You give because you want something back, but you also give because you're afraid that the guy's going to kill you one way or the other. So you give, and it's a sort of an extension of a implicit paranoia or even a sense of blackmail in your own soul. I'm not saying that the governor goes around blackmailing people, but if you're somebody who needs to deal with the governor and needs things from him, you say, if I don't give him the money, I may get killed.
That's true. It could always be worse, even if he doesn't do what you're hoping for on a bill. There will be some other bill next year. And I think a lot of people just know that given the way our system's set up, there's a lot that Albany can do that can make your life more difficult. And it's better to stay on the good side for the long term.
So tell me about bundling. Some of these guys go out and they get a whole bunch of checks from different people and they put them all together, and this is called bundling.
Well, that's another way where you can kind of render New York State's contribution limits meaningless if you want.
Sure.
We talked about LLCs, but let's say you have a company where there's maybe 8 executives who all want the same thing on a bill, obviously. They're each limited to our $65,000 contribution limit. But their lobbyists then can say, hey, why don't you each cut me a $65,000 check? I'll bring those all over to the governor at once. So all of a sudden, we're effectively giving him $500,000 rather than just the smaller amount. And that's one way that some places use to amplify the amount of money they can give quite a bit.
So Bill Mahoney, tell me about in-kind donations. You know, you give money, but you can also give an in-kind donation. In other words, let's say the governor needs office space for his campaigns. You give some very valuable office space away. You got to declare that, don't you?
Yeah, and Cuomo does accept in-kind contributions like most people, and his office space is compensated through another development firm, SL Green. They've given him effectively about $100,000 worth of donations of office space.
Wait, isn't SL Green number 7 on your list?
Yes. Yeah, they've given him $164,000, and once again, that's mostly through LLCs, but only a piece of that, $75,000, has come through standard donations. Most of that comes because they provide him with office space in Midtown Manhattan that would otherwise be very expensive. And so he's able to keep his campaign operations open for the full 4-year cycle without paying a penny, essentially, because they're providing that to him as a gift that's reported on in his campaign filings.
Well, I find all of this reprehensible and disgusting, but what can I say? He also has a real affinity to the Hamptons. You know, you're rich and wealthy, go to the Hamptons in the summer very often, and that's a great place for fundraisers, isn't it?
Yeah, I imagine if you wanted to collect $50,000 checks, you're probably better off spending your July in East Hampton than in downtown Albany. I live in downtown Albany, so no offense to it, but I don't see a lot of my neighbors being able to cut $50,000 checks to a governor if they wanted. And so that tends to be where people are. If you want to hold a fundraising party where you're out on the beach, a lot of people who can afford to give you that amount are probably just a couple miles away and can make it there pretty easily.
And then there's this guy, Ronald Perlman. He only gave a stinking $138,203. But it's interesting, he's number 9 on your list. He's a very famous fellow, isn't he?
Yeah, he holds a holding company, which I believe has bought out a number of prominent companies or at least made large investments to them over the years.
Yeah.
And he's been a big donor for Cuomo going back to his first term. But perhaps his most notable relationship with him is that he's hired several former staffers of Cuomo's who have done a 3-4 year stint, and then once they left, got a job with Perlman working for him after leaving the executive branch. These are mostly people who just, you do get burnt out working for the governor after a while. It is a very time-consuming job. A lot of these people aren't from Albany and get tired of spending time up here. So typically, it's not too uncommon for staffers to depart after a few years, and that has happened with Cuomo particularly. But this has been a popular destination for some of his former administration's members.
Now, number 10 on your list is fascinating to me. And this is a California firm. It's SunCal, in the construction of a 1,177-unit residential project near the base of the newly named Governor Mario Cuomo Tappan Zee Bridge. So the campaign got $130,000 of that money. It's from California. Why are they pitching in?
Well, this was a company that I believe when they first gave last year, I had never seen them write a check to a state politician before. And I was curious why this California company was getting involved in New York politics. But they are building this massive project, as you mentioned, right by in Westchester, right near the Tappan Zee Bridge that Cuomo's invested heavily in. So I assume they've got a lot of business just in terms of tax rates and development grants that they might be eligible for that prompted them to decide to start getting to know the governor better.
And so Joel and Julia Greenblatt gave $120,000. And you note that Joel Greenblatt is a hedge fund manager and investor and is a major supporter of charter schools. Well, you know, there's some very wealthy people who are behind charter schools. We know that. And who really want to influence the governor, who came out in the very beginning of his administration sort of pro-charter schools. I think he's mitigated that a little because I think he ticked off the other public school people.
Yeah, if we went down this list further by the time we got to number 40, say, we'd probably find a dozen other hedge fund managers who happen to be charter school supporters who would appear on there. Governor Cuomo has had a good relationship with them. A lot of them can cut a $60,000 check like it's nothing. And they do have a strong support for charter schools. There's a whole group. The state's largest spending super PAC in last year's election was actually made up of many of these people who supported Senate Republicans with the sole goal of getting them to promote charter schools and protect them if they were able to keep the majority.
And tied for number 17 that you have here are the Carmel Company project, which has given the governor donations of through three LLCs since Cuomo announced in 2014 that it, the firm, had been awarded a $3.9 million grant to build a senior housing project.
Yeah, that's pretty common. If you look at the people who have gotten big grants, many of them are big Cuomo donors.
And then Dan Pickett, $105,000, is the CEO of Clifton Park Technology Company Infrastructure, which received $43.8 million in state contracts since Cuomo took office. Amazing.
Yeah, like I said, if you go look through all of Cuomo's donors, it's over 95%, there's direct connections between people who got state contracts, people who were appointed to state boards. Over 95% of his money came from people like this. So this isn't too uncommon. That is what you'll find the more you keep on looking through the people who appear on his campaign finance filings.
Well, Bill Mahoney, you are doing a tremendous job here. And congratulations to you and to Politico for bringing this information to people's eyes because, as I said before, it's disgusting. In any case, that's all the time we have, and I'm really sad about that. Our guest has been Bill Mahoney, a reporter for Politico. Bill, thanks so much for joining us today. You're welcome back here anytime, and the more of this stuff you get, the better we like it.
Thank you for having me.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.